You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Dynasty Draft Room, presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Ryan Searfoss, joined as always with Eric Adams. Tonight's show will be discussing Dynasty running back rankings. Remember, you can support our show by pressing subscribe and leaving us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever podcasts can be found. When you subscribe, you get daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, Devy, Fantasy Football Podcast from the NFL Draft Bible. And if you enjoy the show, you have the opportunity to talk to us now. We started an NFL Draft Bible Discord channel. It's awesome. We talk everything from draft, fantasy football, free agency. We even talk some video games. We hit just about everything. The link's in the show description. Definitely come on in and have some fun. And Eric, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, baby. I'm good. I'm going to try not to trash the running backs a little too much, but that's the position. It's a very, very non-glorious position. So
yeah, the running back position has like gotten very weird, and we're in a just changing of the guards almost, I feel like. There's a couple guys who've been there, but it's a lot of changing names year after year now.
Change is good. All right. But in Dynasty, I could see how it's a little annoying. So, yeah, I'm ready to get into it.
Cool. We are going to do our prospect of the week first because I forgot last week. And we're going to hop right into it. We're going with Javion Hawkins, running back from Louisville. Eric, I know you got some strong thoughts on him. Let me hear what you got to say.
Oh, one sec. Trying to get the notes up. This is me being unprepared here.
See, now I put it off at the beginning instead of the end.
You start.
I'll hop into it. He's a nice little back. He's 5'9", 196 pounds. We'll see how true that is once it comes away in time. I think he's just situational back. He can play. He's a third down back. He's a change of pace guy. He has super 0-60 out of the backfield, so he can make big plays for you. I think he's going to have a roster spot. I think he'll have a big game here or there. We're never going to see him take the full workload. Open space, he's created. He's everything you want a little back to be. His ceiling, he can have a Chris Thompson type role in the league. I mean, he's fine. He's what he is. But I think it's you have to view him what he is, not as a three down fantasy performer.
I like how you mentioned Chris Thompson. If I could sign up for a Chris Thompson type role in the league for Javion Hawkins, I think I would do that right now. I think he's a good outside runner. Thought that was his best ability.
Yeah.
Never send him into the meat of the line, or else that's not going to be.
And he bounces every time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He consistently bounces outside.
He's got some boom bat pow for a small little running back. Still scrappy. I like that. The size concerns me, but honestly, he's going to hear that plenty leading up to the draft. But his size never really. It didn't really show up too much on tape, although he did go down a little easy at some points. I kind of wish he was faster. I saw 5'9", 196. I know you said he could go 0-60, but I wanted him to be a little faster when I saw him.
I think he's more quick than anything.
A little twitchy, yeah.
He hits that top speed fast.
Yeah. And we won't know how fast he is because we'll get his 40 time. It'll be 4.23, and we'll never know if we can actually trust that. Do not trust 40 times this offseason. I don't trust a single one of them. But yeah, you know, I think if like you said, if he could have a Chris Thompson type role, I think I'd sign up for that right now. I would like that for him.
That's his ceiling, and his floor is a gadget player who just disappears.
Yep.
And this is not great. But he's third round dynasty pick for me. Nothing really more. If he's there, fine. I'll take him. Probably try to move him.
When talking about where I would take him in rookie drafts, I've heard the saying: if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it at all.
All right. I'm okay with that. Awesome. So let's jump into the running backs. Like we did last week, the quarterbacks. We're going off my rankings that I'm doing for the Draft Bible. It should be coming out very soon. We're just giving you a sneak preview for our listeners. So we're going to start same as quarterbacks, have them tiered off. Tiers are not consistently the same size at all, just because I see there's drop-offs, question marks, stuff like that separates guys, and that's what I'm sticking with. So my top tiers is four guys: Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook. Eric, I mean, do you have any questions with any of these guys? I know that, I mean, they have question marks, but out of what's out there, I'm most comfortable with these four.
Yeah, no, I'm good with that top four. I'm glad you kept Taylor out for tier one. I don't want to crown Taylor too quick. I think he'll be nasty. He had a great rookie season, but we're getting this isn't even just the fantasy community. This is NFL in general. We're getting into the habit of crowning people way too fast. Let's let him have a second season. He'll probably be in tier one by, you know, maybe even as early as next year, but I'm happy about that. Those four earned tier one. They have earned right. Tier one.
Week 7, everybody hated Jonathan Taylor. Week 10, he was RB1 in Dynasty. Like, we're very quick to pull the trigger either way. Do you have any fears that McCaffrey and Barkley come back injury-wise? Where do you want to have, would you think taking the other guys there with them?
I'm still taking McCaffrey 101. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
I have no gripes with McCaffrey. I've said my piece on Barkley. I think this is a big year for Saquon Barkley. I think he needs to show it this year. Just because he's got, like, McCaffrey has the contract already. You already heard the rumblings about how, like, he could be involved in a trade to Houston. I have no doubt in my mind that Carolina probably offered that trade, and Houston probably told him to kick rocks, even if McCaffrey was in that trade offer. You're not trading a franchise quarterback for a running back. But McCaffrey has the contract. Barkley needs to earn that contract. I think the Giants are in a pretty tough spot with him, but I think he'll have a good year. So
you telling me he's going to earn the contract makes me want him a little more than somebody who's cruising.
Who, McCaffrey or Barkley?
Yeah, that kind of like makes me want to lean Barkley a little bit, thinking about from contract already set point.
Things going to be overrated.
My man needs to get paid.
Yeah.
All right.
He needs to have a big year, 100%.
Needs to. And then it said Kamara has his questions with Breeze. I don't think I'm worried about that Taysom Hill effect this year. Kamara's great regardless.
He was kind of fine with Taysom Hill. People kind of blew that out of proportion. He had a fine stat line when Taysom Hill was playing.
Yeah.
Also, I don't expect Taysom Hill to be a quarterback, so there you go. If Taysom Hill's quarterback, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. We'll see.
But Kamara won the championship this year.
Yeah.
The FFPC President's Joe's Championship. So I love Kamara. I had Cook too. But anyway, moving to tier two. We're going with the guy who we just missed it. You mentioned Jonathan Taylor. Then I got Derrick Henry, DeAndre Swift, who I feel like I'm higher on than a lot of consensus, which I don't know why. Josh Jacobs, Zeke, and Nick Chubb.
I don't think you're too high on him. I think he had a great year. I think he had a fantastic year. I think Swift is a stud. I wasn't the highest on Swift coming out of the draft. And then at what he did last year, splitting time with Peterson, and then Peterson coming out and basically saying, this coaching staff is kind of stupid. That's why he got fired. I don't know why we haven't gone to DeAndre Swift sooner. He catches so many passes too. I mean, I think Ryan McDowell tweeted it today how him and Taylor were kind of like neck and neck with where their ADP was. So I don't think you're higher than most of you. I think that's about right. If Swift hits the ground running as a starting running back for the Lions this year, I don't really care what their offense looks like. I expect a big year out of him. I'm all right with him at 7.
His receiving ability puts him in top 15 regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
And he just needs some production. He was RB1 going into the draft last year. And I love the Taylor landing spot because that offense is committed to running the ball. And I have Taylor ahead of him right now, and I'm questioning it. Like, I really am between those two. I love them both. I think Josh Jacobs is right there talent-wise, and I think that team's built for him. He just had a late injury that kind of derailed his season.
I think we got to watch what the Raiders do offensive line-wise, because they've played some very, very solid offensive line play. They've had very solid offensive line play since Gruden got there. I think that obviously helps Jacobs. I don't see Derek Carr going anywhere. I think you're right. I think they are built for Josh Jacobs. I'm good with him at 8. The interesting one comes at 9 and 10 that I want to talk about.
Zeke and Chubb.
Not as you're faltering on Zeke, huh? You're buying into that for the offseason?
So, yes. I mean, there's one factor that's really going to buy or sell it for me, and that factor is Dak Prescott. If Dak's there, that's a top five offense in the league, and Zeke's going to have a butt ton of red zone opportunities, which he's done nothing but convert on his whole career. He's done nothing but shown us every year except for this year, which was just a shit show, that he's been the man. I'm not off Zeke yet. I believe in the talent. I believe in that offense. And I do think Dak's coming back, even though he said he wants Mahomes. There's rumors saying he wants Mahomes' money. Or like just shy of it.
I think I'm glad. I like the way you put that. I think people are a little quick to sell these guys off here. I know Henry's the other one that people want to sell off real quick. Zeke isn't even 26 years old yet. He's not even 26.
He's the oldest 25-year-old on the planet.
He really is. Yeah, he might as well be 48, the way people talk about him in Dynasty. I like the way you put it. I think if Dak's back, and I expect Dak to be back, whether it's on – I expect it to be the franchise tag. I don't – that's – we'll see how much longer that's going to be able to hold up. But this year, he'll be in Dallas. They'll be a very good offense. You know, people bring up last year as if Zeke was some slouch. He didn't have a terrible year. I know it wasn't up to Zeke standards, but I mean,
still he had 79 yards and 6 touchdowns in 15 games.
Compared to what Zeke usually does, yeah, it's bad. But like
16 game season, that's 1,000 yards. Dak Prescott in there. Like, his worst year, he's averaging 4 a pop. Yeah. And that's with, you know, XFL guys playing quarterback for him. So
the problem with Zeke that nobody really in fantasy is talking about, that O-line just keeps deteriorating. Like, Zeke was all pro a couple years ago. They're dropping like flies now. They're just, I mean, you had Frederick retire, I believe. Tyron Smith is missing time. The only constant's been Zach Martin. I think even he missed time. I mean, they've got some problems on that O-line right now. That's never a good thing for a running back. So,
but do you think Dak in there puts him at 1,100 yards and minimum 8 touchdowns?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd sign up for that.
Probably more?
Could be. Could be. That offense, man, before Dak went down, that offense was absurd. I can't wait to project that offense out, because that's going to be fun to do.
It's going to be crazy. I'm very excited about it. I think there's a lot to look forward to that team.
Yeah.
And if Dak leaves, everything we said, just forget it. I have no idea. If he leaves, like, not everything changes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's so many questions then.
100% have to revisit that. You wrote this on the show. See, I'm gonna bring it up. Can Chubb get enough volume with Hunt? We're not gonna do this anymore. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt both performed last year. They have I feel like we did this past 2 years now, where we're like, I've been on the side where I'm like, oh, I don't want the headache. I don't want them eating into each other. I think they both were RB1s last year. Correct me if I'm wrong. So I'm done with that conversation. I think both of them are fine. If you want to take a chance on either of them, I'm good with it. They're both studs. Yeah, go ham.
Hunter's value is fantastic. But like you said, Nick Chubb's one of the best running backs in the league. And if Hunt didn't exist, Nick Chubb would be in that elite tier.
Yeah.
Like, he'd be in that – he'd be right there with Dalvin for me. But – when you have someone that good there and still keeps you in the top 10, you're a good running back.
Yeah. Yeah. They're both extremely valuable.
They should improve their offensive line still.
Yeah. Yep. They should do that as well. I hate talking about them just because imagine how good Kareem Hunt would be if Nick Chubb wasn't in the same backfield as him.
If one goes down, the other one's top seven.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree with that. They're in a great offense too. Like they, Stefanski, he loves running the ball. So that's no doubt in my mind. I like Chubb at 10. I think Kareem Hunt 22 is a little low to be fair. Yeah. I think that's a little low.
It's because of this like Callen at running back position. One other thing I wanted to say about those two, like four running backs in the league got over 60% of their team's carries. It's not a big deal that they split. It's when you get like three or four guys, you got to worry. Two guys are split, it's fine. It's the league we have now.
Yeah. I thought for a second here, Kareem Hunt didn't play against Kansas City in the playoffs. He did. He had a touchdown. Good for him.
Yeah, that okay. Actually. All right, tier three. It gets weird in tier three. Like, there's some guys, some questions. So, Cam Akers, Aaron Jones, Miles Sanders, J.K. Dobbins. I have Najee Harris slotted in right here, our first rookie. Antonio Gibson, David Montgomery, Austin Eckler, Joe Mixon, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire, and James Robinson, then Kareem Hunt. And you have a mix of young guys and a couple vets, and you have like Aaron Jones, who was a stud, and we have no idea what situation that'll look like. You're hearing franchise tag now. You hear Miami want some. It's how do you sort out a group like this when these guys are a lot of the same? Like, there's guys I'll pick, like younger ones I prefer, but there's a lot of the same where I don't think you have a huge drop off.
Well, you got the right guy at the top.
Cam Akers.
Love Cam Akers.
I said the offense is perfect for him. McVay just went on record saying that he's a feature back. Like, we've seen this offense run through a running back for so many years, and that's when it's at its best. We saw it in the playoffs that they were winning with their win. Like, that's Akers' offense. He'd be the next tier. He's close to that next tier for me, and he could pass any of these guys. Like, his skill's there.
I think by next year he'll be in that tier too. I think he's going to have a very good year. I don't want to get into the mix and talk yet. I like going the Aaron Jones route here because he's a free agent. Franchise tag is interesting. I don't even know how much a franchise tag is for running backs. I think it's $8 million. Is it $8 million? Yeah. $10 million? Somewhere around there.
Yeah, I'll look that up. But he's weird though. Like, honestly, you probably want him to stay because he's looked really good.
I was about to say, I don't know if there's a spot that he lands in free agency where I'm like, oh yeah, that's better than Green Bay. I don't think there is. I don't know if there is one out there. It's damn sure not in Miami. Miami doesn't get me excited. Miami, I think that would be a step back for him. I think Green Bay is a much better spot for him.
Yeah, he's not going to get 20 touchdowns in Miami.
Yeah, no.
Tight end franchise tags 11.1.
Yeah, sorry. Goodbye, Aaron Jones. I'm not paying that. I don't know. I think Green Bay should still work to try to work out a long-term deal, but everyone knows my position on this. I'm not. If it goes north of $10 million for a running back, I think I'm going to give you your walking papers. I don't care how good you are. It's going to be interesting. I know a lot of people like to bring up. You brought up Miami. A lot of people like to bring up Arizona. I don't think that's better. Seattle was an interesting one that I heard. That I wouldn't hate. That would be a lateral move for me for Green Bay. But
What about the Jets?
What was it? The Jets?
Jets.
Oh boy. I don't know about that. That'd be, that would It'd be such a Jets move. You just paid Le'Veon Bell that type of contract, and then you're gonna go right back out there and pay a running back another contract. I don't know if the Jets are. I think the Jets are learning from their ways. I'm hoping they don't do that. They need wide receivers and O line help more than that.
Yeah, I won't do that either.
Yeah,
but I kind of hope he stays now.
I think if you're an Aaron Jones owner in Dynasty, I think you want him to stay.
And I just traded away my only share of A.J. Dillon, so I really want him to stay just because I want that person's dream truck.
We'll get into A.J. Dillon a little bit.
All right. I got Miles Sanders next. I think Miles Sanders can only go up from here. I know he's a couple years older now, but that offense was putrid last year. And he looked so much better once Jalen Hurts took over. The running quarterback factor. He's really the only running back. I like him still. Not off.
I love the player. I hate the situation. I think Philly's a dumpster fire right now. I really do. Miles Sanders, he missed time last year. For the season, he still had a fantastic season. I mean, he played really well. He's a good player.
People act like he was trash last year, and he wasn't.
Yeah, no. People are acting like he's trash last year because everyone wanted him to jump into like the top 10 running backs, and everybody drafted him as a top 10 running back, and then he missed the four games. Obviously, he wasn't going to be a top 10 running back. And the fantasy football community is a fickle community. You're a fickle community, people. For all of you listening, you're a fickle community.
I know people hate yards per carry now because it's not cool, but when I have a running back and an offense that bad who's averaging 5.3 a pop, that's really good, man. You're creating and making plays.
With all the problems they had at O-line, too, I mean, that's impressive. It's not to be scoffed at.
I wish I had the stats for yards created. Like, he does a lot for himself, and that's what you want in a running back. And that offense was in the bottom five in the league.
Yep.
If that offense gets to 15th, which add Jamar Chase, fix the O-line a little bit. That's a possibility. And you get him with six touchdowns in one of the worst offenses in the league to a mid one. That's 9 touchdowns. And if you were rushing, you more carries the lead, not play 12 games, like it adds up. He can make that jump really quickly.
Yep. Look, when it comes to Philly, that sixth pick, the only team I see taking a wide receiver ahead of him is Miami, and even they might not take a wide receiver. If they have a chance at Chase, I understand their O-line is so bad, but like if Sewell's off the board, there's our Sewell announcement for the week. If Sewell's off the board, man, how do you turn down Jamar Chase if you're them? I mean, I think that'd be an interesting they're one of the more interesting teams in that first round. But if Jamar Chase comes, even if it's an offensive lineman, I like the way you put it. I think Sanders can only go up from here.
Right. I think his situation can't get worse.
No. It's already at rock bottom.
It could try, but I can't see it getting worse.
Nope. I agree with that.
J.K. Dobbins, it's just getting enough carries for me. I feel like we've talked about Najee Harris enough.
Yeah.
Landing spot moves him. Antonio Gibson, where loves now. Where are you feeling about David Montgomery?
I like David Montgomery. I was a fan of David Montgomery coming out of that draft, and then he had an okay rookie season. People kind of piled it on him, and then last year he was fantastic. I think David Montgomery is going smooth sailing right now. Smooth sailing. I don't really care who the quarterback is. I don't think the quarterback can get much worse there, so it's not like that's going to affect him all that much. I like David Montgomery. I like him a lot. I like him where you got him, too. 17's good. I know he was really – I think he was RB1 last year, but yeah. I think that's a good spot for him. 17's
Yeah, there was a lot of injuries last year, and I don't do my rankings or projections of injuries. I'm not there. Let's talk about the big one. Number 19, Joe Mixon. He's been a sweetheart of the fantasy community, myself included. I'm a huge Joe Mixon guy, and I had no idea what to do. I posted it on Twitter where people ranked them, and answers were – I saw as high as 7 – I saw as low as 28. Like, they're all over the place. I feel like I was in the middle somehow, which worked out. But again, he's in a situation. It couldn't have got. It can't get worse than it was last year. Because other when Joe Burrow is there, the offense is going fine. There's a lot that could go right for Joe Mixon and make me feel hate myself for having this low. But he could also be worse.
I just want him to stay healthy. Like the Bengals actually have a semblance of an offense now. Like now's the time. Everyone being the Mixon true, they're like, I'm not gonna pile it on the guy. He before Burrow got there, they were crap. they were a mess. Yeah. Bengals. Now you got the right guy at quarterback. I don't know if you got the right guy head coach. Jerry's still out on him, but they got really good receivers. They got all they need is really the offensive line to get set. Stay healthy, build up that O line, and see what he can do this year. And then if he doesn't do anything this year, then I'm going to pile it on because then I'm like, I'm done waiting now. This is getting ridiculous.
If I own him, I can't trade him. Like he's on my roster for life because like his value is never going to match.
Yeah, you likely like him a lot more than anyone else. Is if you have him, that's probably the case.
More than anybody else, and I'll always have that little bit of fear that the day I trade him away, he's gonna blow up.
Yeah,
I hate it. And if I'd go to trade for him, I feel like their owner would be the same thing. I think he's one of the most untradeable assets in fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think everyone's aware of what he could possibly do.
Yeah,
we're just waiting to see it now.
Yeah, and we got James Robinson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I know Edwards-Helaire is your boy. How do you feel about him slotted at 20?
I'm all right. I think he's going to perennially be in the 14 to 20 range. I just don't know if he'll be able to do enough to get up into further than that. I'm sure there's a year where he could push top 10 numbers, but I mean, we're gonna need to see him get used a little more. Again, I love the guy. I love the guy as an NFL player, but when it comes to fantasy, there's just a lot going on in Kansas City. I would not be shocked if he hit top 10 numbers, though. He has it in him. It's just whether or not Andy Reid wants to call plays for it. So.
Yeah, they're one of the few teams who, when they have the lead, they still just throw the ball an absurd amount.
Yeah.
Like, they're trying to run up the game. They have Patrick Mahomes. They know he's not going to mess up.
Yeah.
They just keep throwing. And it sucks for him, for fantasy. It's awesome if you have Mahomes, Kelce, or Hill. But it sucks for anybody else on the team, especially the running back.
I will say this, all the people who have a gripe with him, like with any part of his game, I know the goal line carries are a big discussion. That's crap. It's absolute crap. There's nothing Clyde Edwards-Helaire did last year that made me go, oh, he's not as good as I thought he was. No, he's every bit as good as I thought he was. He's fine. People pile on him because he was the first running back taken and everyone took the victory laps that like him. He's one of the most hated players in fantasy. I'm comfortable saying that. That's why I like him so much.
He's right now my sixth running back from the last year's rookies.
See, last year was a good class, man. I can't hate on it. Like, Jonathan Taylor, I'm taking over him right now. DeAndre Swift, I'm taking over him right now. Cam Akers, I'm taking over him right now. Dobbins, over him right now. Gibson, oh, I agree with you.
How about I take Najee Harris over him?
Obviously. I would, yeah.
How about James Robinson? Have him one slot behind him.
Yeah, that one I'm not taking over him.
If he has another good year and like solidifies he's a starting back, does that change everything next year at this point?
I hope so, because I don't like talking about him this way. I hate how we're like, oh, we want to buy in because he really was a good player, but I don't know, he was undrafted. I hate that. I really
want to do too. And his undraftedness literally is just burying his value.
Yep.
And I don't know if it should. I feel like it shouldn't.
If they go 3 to 4 rounds without taking a running back, James Robinson through the roof.
Yeah, if they show you come the draft and don't take a running back, they don't take anybody in free agency unless it's like a 2-down guy or a change of pace guy. They don't take anybody. That tells you what the team thinks.
Yep.
The moves they make in the offseason tell the story.
Yes, I agree with that. Hopefully they don't bring anyone in, because I do like James Robinson.
If the draft's going on and I see them not take a running back by round four, I'm probably going to try to make a trade for him that day.
Yeah.
Like, that's his backfield.
I agree. And if it is his backfield, that offense is going to hum next year. I think that offense is going to be pretty good. So,
yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence will make a huge difference.
Yes.
I mean, assuming Trevor Lawrence gets number one overall as he should.
He's going number one. Come on.
Assuming he gets number one. Like, yeah. So that's my tier three. Tier four, I don't have anything broken out after tier four. I just have some guys ranked through here. Who's some guys in here who you think make the jump? Obviously, Travis Etienne. Chris Carson, I want to see his landing spot. I love Chris Carson.
I'm with you there. I really like Chris Carson as a player, but when these guys hit free agency, I don't know. I don't know where he's going to end up. His landing spot will tell us everything we need to know.
Yeah, if he lands somewhere where he's the future back, I feel great.
Yep.
Kenyon Drake, I have no idea what to do with him. He was a third-round pick last year.
He was disappointing. He was very disappointing. I expect a lot more out of Kenyon Drake.
Then he flashed at the end of the season.
Like he always does. I'm out. I'm out.
Do we believe in playoff Lenny? Or Super Bowl Lenny? Or whatever he's calling himself now? Lambo Lenny? I don't know.
Lombardi Lenny. That's what we're calling him now.
Lombardi Lenny.
Makes the best sense. I like where you got him at 26 because Ronald Jones is always going to get carries there, and I think it's going to be a split. So I love Fournette. I love what he did in the playoffs, but I think you got him right where you need to have him.
Javonte Williams in there, again, landing spot dependent. He gets placed in the backfield, so that he can drop a few people.
Yeah.
Like, I have him no problem dropping everybody else on this list if he lands in the right place.
Yep.
A.J. Dillon at 30, if Aaron Jones leaves, he's dropping. I'm sorry, if Aaron Jones stays, he's dropping.
He's dropping, yep.
Right now, I have him at 30, assuming Aaron Jones is gone, and it's him and Jamal Williams altering each other because they're the same person.
If it's him and Jamal Williams, then I'm higher on A.J. I'll be higher on A.J. Dillon in 30. I don't know. A.J. Dillon is a bowling ball. That one game, I think it was against Tennessee. I think Green Bay was showing us the future there. They're like, this is the guy. We're going to go with this. Like, this works. Jamal Williams is a jag. He's just a jag. He's just a guy.
He is. But what does he do well if that team is just obsessed with?
Catch passes. And pass protection, all that crap. You know, you need a guy like Jamal Williams. I get it. But, like, it's not going to deter me from A.J. Dillon.
The thing is, A.J. Dillon's not a great pass catcher.
Yeah.
What if they bring in a pass, say, a third round running? Say they bring in Javion Hawkins there in the third round.
That's not going to deter me from A.J. Dillon.
Yeah, but say he gets involved, the offense takes six carries a game.
You're talking like a lot of fantasy football right now. A lot of the fantasy football community, guys, you gotta look at what A.J. Dillon looks like. They like him a lot in Green Bay. Let me tell you now.
Not if they're trying to franchise tag Aaron Jones.
Because Aaron Jones is a very good player, and I would see why you wouldn't want a guy like Aaron Jones.
11 million.
I'm not saying I'm doing it, but I'm just saying, you know, Aaron Jones.
If A.J. Dillon's that great, the thought or conversation or any news leak saying that they're going to franchise that game is going to disappear like that. Like, that guy who dropped that news needs slapped. If they truly would get slapped, they truly believe that. That's my fear.
I don't think they're going to franchise tag him.
I don't either.
These other guys.
David Harris. You talked about him on the show. Do you think he could get 50% of the snaps in New England? 60%?
I want. You know what? Let me look up what Damien Harris got last year, because he also missed time last year. That doesn't help.
No, and then Sonny Michel missed time, and I feel like they're never healthy at the same time.
Yeah, Harris fine the first year, but that's his rookie redshirt year. Yeah, he played 10 games there? Come on, Pro Football Reference. He played 10 games, 691 yards, 137 carries, 2 touchdowns. Look, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. I don't know if they'll bring in another running back because James White's a free agent, so that murks things up. It's already New England, so that murks things up with the running backs. We're talking fantasy football here. We're talking dynasty fantasy football here. I'm not talking about my Patriots fandom. I don't want to do it with the Patriots running backs. If we're talking NFL and actual football, I love Damien Harris. Damien Harris is a dog.
His situation sucks.
It's just, yeah. Like, if you could tell me right now that Damien Harris is going to get 220 carries next year, I would have him amongst the top 24 running backs.
He'd be in that conversation. I'd probably put him at, like, 17. I'd probably put him above Eckler, Joe Mixon. If he's getting carries, I believe in him.
But I expect him to split with Sony. I still, like, whether it's James White or they're bringing in someone else or J.J. Taylor gets more carries, they're always going to be they're always going to be a little running back factory in New England. That's just the way it goes. They love cycling the running backs, which is unfortunate because, like we said, Damien Harris is such a good player. He is such a good player. They have a really good O-line, too, even without Joe Tooney, who I expect to leave. But it's just it's never going to come to fruition. So that's the unfortunate truth with New England running backs. So.
Yep. Well, I feel like every guy after these is just mainly backup running backs or dudes who are washed, like David Johnson, even though he just got extended. Gus Edwards is interesting just because if he get the opportunity, he's played well. A lot of third down backs. Alexander Mattison is a top tier handcuff.
Yeah. If you have Dalvin Cook, you need Alexander Mattison on your team.
Yeah. I prefer it for now because I like having other people's handcuffs. Big fan of that. The strategy is a whole different thing. How about the Buffalo? I feel like we ragged on them.
No, we're not doing it this week.
Sorry, Bills fans. Nope. We love you too much to do that.
You have an RB1 at quarterback. You know what the deal is. Don't take out here, please.
I have one guy farther down on the list I'm really interested in because he's a free agent and could be okay on the right landing spot. That's Marlon Mack.
Did he tear his Achilles or ACL?
That means good. Something to me.
If it's ACL, I'm not that worried. If it's Achilles, I'd be a little more worried.
Yeah. Like, what if he lands in Pittsburgh?
That'd be interesting.
James Conner's not built for this world. Like, he's just...
You want to know what my problem with Marlon Mack is? Chris Carson's a free agent, and I view Marlon Mack as a poor man's Chris Carson. So,
yeah.
That's the unfortunate truth with Marlon Mack for me. I think he's a solid player, but...
But landing spot makes a difference.
It does.
Just like, go back to Damon Harris. We love Damon Harris' player, hate the landing spot. It was a week one Achilles tear.
Yeah, I don't
like Achilles. Which is supposed to be 6 to 9 months. I don't either.
Still don't like
the Achilles. But in all reality, Marlon Mack's not really a lateral kind of guy.
No.
But he can land in a good spot. What if he landed in Buffalo? I think he's better than both backs they have.
That I'd be down with. Because I'll never touch Marlon Mack, so he could go to Buffalo and be solid and be not on my team.
How about Miami?
I mean, if that's Miami's solution to the running back position,
say Miami investing offensive line, wide receiver, building around Tua, and they sign Marlon Mack in free agency for $6 million, and he's their feature back. We've seen Miles Gaskins and third down backs perform over there. Well, the Mack's talented.
Yeah. I just think they should aim higher than Marlon Mack. They could take him on a flyer. That'd be good depth. But
I mean, just because you're aiming higher, if there's a couple guys who get the franchise tag, that free agent pool gets a lot smaller real quick. The running back class outside the top three guys, four guys, if you consider Kevin Gainwell there, isn't anything special where I'd be wanting them over back.
I don't know, man. Najee at 18 looks pretty good to me. That would work.
He got some other needs, man. I mean, it'd be nice, and Tua would have his buddy back.
They're an I don't want to call them a mess because I feel like Miami does kind of have a plan.
They're a playoff team.
They're a fringe playoff team, is what they are. But I don't know, man. Miami's in a weird spot. They're in a very odd spot right now. They have a lot of cap space, a lot of draft capital. They just cut Kyle Van Noy. They need a semblance of an offense because they have no identity on offense. It's a problem. Like, no. What does Miami do? What is Miami's main offense identity? I don't think they have one. Yeah. And you're throwing out the Tua trade for Watson talk, which is probably getting into Tua's head. They're playing a weird little game right now in Miami.
Yeah, I don't love it. And I don't love how they used Tua last year. Like, they wouldn't commit to him or if it's magic. And it means you're not a Super Bowl team. And you're going to pull your rookie quarterback. Like, I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I hated that, by the way.
I deserved
to be crapped on because that was a terrible move.
It makes me mad just thinking about it. I kind of blacked that out for a little bit. But like, you're right. I don't know what they're doing, Miami. It could go really well. Because the way they've handled the draft and all that, it's great. But they've rebuilt like champions.
They're a team to watch.
They're a team to watch. A lot of change.
Yes. And I expect a lot of change for them.
Yeah. Any other guys who you have any use for in this world? Fantasy-wise?
You know, we didn't say anything about them. I'll bring them up. Melvin Gordon, that Denver backfield. I mean, it does sound like they're going to go with Drew Lock, but man, if they – what if Denver sees, like, a Fields or a Lance slip, they go up and grab him, and then all of a sudden that's what they're rolling out at quarterback? That makes me think their running situation looks a lot better than with Drew Lock. I mean, that's – I don't know. Melvin Gordon, I'd be willing to take a little flyer on Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I feel like if he's on your team, you're starting him.
Yeah.
Like you're starting him in the flex and you're happy with it. You're content.
He's
just a player that makes you content. Like you're safe doing him. You're not gonna try to trade for him, you're not gonna try to trade him away. He's there. It's not a bad thing.
But if they upgrade the quarterback, I'd like it. I'd like it quite a bit. Denver, they really are just a quarterback away on that offense. I'm actually surprised they're committing to Lock because they're close. I think they're really close.
I think they are too. I think Lock needs a chance.
Nope.
Full season healthy.
Nope.
Fair chance.
Absolutely not. I gave him a chance to come to New England and he kicked 6 field goals and threw 2 picks and almost lost them the game. Nope. Not a chance. Don't like it. He is hashtag bad. He's a backup, is what he is. Get a guy that's better than that.
I'm glad we didn't bring him up last week on quarterbacks.
Damn right. All right.
Anyone else?
Is Raheem Mostert still the starter in there in San Francisco? You think?
Until otherwise told differently.
Ah, come on. That's a cop-out.
That's a pure cop-out because I have no idea what they're doing in San Francisco.
I think I'd be a little disappointed if he's still the starter.
I like Raheem Mostert for that.
I like him.
He's good in San Francisco.
But I think they can do better.
But you know what? If he started in San Fran, he moves up a few spots, and his speed makes him relevant.
That's fair.
How about Rashad Penny? Chris Carson gone.
You did not just bring up Rashad Penny.
I have to. Like, he's interesting.
Is he?
I don't like Rashad Penny. I don't think he's good. But
You could period stop right after that. That's where it's at.
Good, but yeah, okay. Yeah.
No, I have no interest in Rashad Penny. Absolutely
not. I don't either.
They are, you know, kudos to Seattle for being so good. Their first-round picks suck. Like, they're bad. I hear all the crap about New England being a bad drafting team, and I just look at Seattle. I'm like, how are you getting away with this? Like, what in the hell do you put out every year? You get Rashad Penny in the first round. I don't even want to.
I'm starting to think those two teams have just been dragged to greatness, kicking and screaming by their quarterbacks.
No, I think New England actually does draft decently. I have to hear all the crap about how Belichick sucks. It's like, Jesus Christ, bro. I mean, could be worse. Could be taking Rashad Penny in the first round. People act like Sonny Michel is a terrible first round pick. All he did was have an amazing postseason. I don't want to go off right now.
I have them ranked right next to each other because it's the same person in my eyes.
You're kidding me. They are not the same. You do not want Sonny Michel then. That's terrible.
Sonny Michel is like what Rashad Penny wants to be.
Rashad Penny wakes up. Yeah, you literally just said it. I was like, Rashad Penny gets out of bed and wishes he was Sonny Michel. That's basically what.
Like, he's eyeing for the cloud, or like, it's like shooting for the moon and landing in the clouds. He's like shooting for the clouds and like making it over the curb.
He's shooting for the clouds, landing in the dumpster. Come on. I ain't having it with Rashad Penny. Not even staying on the field, not healthy. No. He was the second running back taken in that draft, wasn't he?
That was the first.
No. That was the Barkley draft. That was the Barkley draft.
Oh, okay.
Always forget Barkley.
Barkley a pick so high, I just forgot. But basically, yeah, like absurdness.
I did. Oh, boy. Rashad Penny. We could have ended this on a nice note and had a nice little conversation. You brought up Rashad Penny.
Hope. Shout out to Todd Gurley in his career. There's a nice note.
Don't bring up Todd. Come on. Don't do that. Don't kick the man. He had a lot of touchdowns last year, but that's not going to equate. So let's.
I'll forever love him.
He's the man. I do like Todd. Nice guy.
If you owned him, he won you a championship. Like, you got to love Todd Gurley.
That's true. Very true.
But awesome. Anything else to add to running backs? Any other rookies you're excited for hopping into this list?
No, I'm good with this. I think this is a solid rankings, and we'll see how it looks come late March.
Awesome. Well, Eric, tell me where they can find you.
I'm on Twitter at @FF_taters. I'm on Twitch at @Hey_taters.
Awesome. So find me, Ryan Siri Fawcett, Foss534. Thanks for listening to tonight's episode of the Dynasty Draft Room presented by the Sports Illustrated NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. Remember, if you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star review, and please subscribe and check out our Discord. Come talk with us. It's a lot of fun. Catch y'all later.
Later, taters.